What's poppin', y'all? Welcome back to episode 7 of the Kane Show. Oh man, I have no idea how I intend to follow up that last episode, but I decided today I was feeling well enough to give it the old college try. Even though if you go as far enough to listen to my podcast, you probably know through my content or my lives that I barely graduated high school. Oh man, lately I've been stressed the fuck out, man. I have been neglecting my stoic upkeep. I have found myself many times falling off track and allowing myself to be pulled out of my character and distracted by bullshit comments, bullshit videos and reposts, and just paying too much attention to the fucking audience. You know what I mean? If you spend time on stage, then you learn how to kind of see that as like a metaphor for moving through life, really, man. You spend too much time trying to decipher how the crowd's feeling, then your energy isn't going to be right on stage. Your performance isn't going to be tight. And, man, I've been reading just some bullshit comments, man. And I've made it a point to call out the bullshit ones and do what I can to voice my opinion and correct people where I feel like it would be a good idea to do so. But I have allowed it to go too far. Now I find myself at a point where I could honestly say I have replied to maybe 40 negative comments for every 15 good ones. And that's not cool, you know? If I'm going to take time to respond to comments at all, it should be towards the positive ones. It should be viewed as an opportunity for me to express gratitude and to thank the people that go out of their way to give a fuck about the things that are coming out of my mouth and the things that I'm doing. But I will say I feel like the main lesson in all this is that too much of my existence right now is just all me. It's just like such a fucking insular, what's the proper word, fucking existence. Like I feel like I'm kind of like in a fucking, in a bubble. You know, just constantly just content. And I'm grateful to have this opportunity. I'm grateful for this to be my job, my occupation for the time being. But, man, putting yourself in the public forum to be critiqued and be fucking spoken of. And, oh, man, sometimes it's just like, who the fuck do you think you are? You know what I mean? But then I gotta remember, I know exactly who these people think they are. And they don't really think they're much, even if they claim to. If anyone willingly spends time from their day to go and just cast hate and slime over people's comments and be negative, they can't be going throughout the day feeling too highly of themselves. It's just not the way it works. But apart from that, you know, I've been stressed. I've been a little lonely. It's tricky balancing all this shit, you know, the coaching and consultation and working on the merch and trying to find time for the podcast and trying to do the music thing. That, on the subject of that, I dropped a new song called "Be So Easy," and it's been doing great. I've actually gotten a pretty good reception to it as far as like the streams go. People have been going really crazy with it on Spotify and Apple and YouTube and all that. But along with that, people are dropping like full on fucking think pieces, dude, to the lyrics of the song and to the subject matter of the record, like. I wrote a song, if you want me to explain it, which I don't know if you do, but I'm talking by myself, even though it's with the intent for you to listen to it. So I'm just going to talk about it. What the fuck? The subject matter of the song is that I wrote the song from the perspective of, like, I'm talking to this girl that I used to fuck with who now is in a relationship, and she's unhappy in the relationship, and I'm pretty much telling to her, like, it could be so easy. Come through and see me. Just you and me, baby. You could spend a week. Like, just telling her, like, hey, we could get away. Like, if you're not happy in this relationship, like, you know, it don't got to be the end of the world, but, like, if you're not being satisfied, you're not being taken care of, you can come over to this side, and we can go get away and go do something. Why not do that, you know? And it's fun. It's a rap record. I'm talking shit. And people are dropping whole think pieces and, like, dissecting the lyrics and, like, quoting lines that I said. And I love it. It's fucking, I've always wanted this to happen. I have always wanted people to pick my shit apart. But I thought that they would do it with one of my more, like, personal, emotional records. Instead, they're writing whole think pieces and dissecting one of my most shallow records. Like, what the like, you know what I mean? Son of a bitch. Like, be careful what you wish for, because you're going to get it, but it's not going to be in the way you expect it. Oh, man, but it cracks me the hell up. Like, these people are got these whole think pieces, and they're getting real Freudian with the analysis. And it's just like, bro, wrote that song in less than 5 minutes. I didn't get, like, no emotional investment in the song whatsoever. I literally say, he's such a cornball. He's such a lame. I pray you never get spotted with him again. And people are like, what he means when he says this is that, I'm like, dude, like, I was just talking shit. Like, it's just a rap song. I'm just talking shit, buddy. Like, it ain't that deep. But I must say, I'm so flattered. I love it. I fucking love it. It's awesome. It's so funny. It's so funny to me. But yeah, that's been happening lately. Made a video where I was calling out, like, these self-proclaimed jughead fucking wannabe alpha male dudes who think that being an alpha male is just being obnoxious, if I could just put it simply as possible. And it's been ruffling some feathers, and I'm pretty happy with that, because that was my intent. Now, with that, I had some intent behind it. I wanted to ruffle some feathers. I wanted to see if I could get a dialogue going. And you bet your ass I did. A majority of my followers are women. You know, I got a lot of male followers as well, and a lot of followers that fall into the non-binary spectrum. But a lot of my followers are women. And, you know, you got to know your audience. I was like, oh, they'll probably like this. And I know the dudes will get mad, at least like a specific kind of dudes. But what I love the most about the post is that a lot of, what should I say, self-contained, confident, and strong men have been coming out of the woodwork and being like, yo, thank you for saying it. Hit the nail on the head. Like, ditto, brother, all this cool stuff. And it feels good, man. Because I do believe there's a time and place to be exuberant and to be boastful and to, you know, flex your shit. But what I believe an alpha means to me is it's somebody who can take care of business, it's somebody who can provide, but more importantly, it's somebody that can lead. It's somebody who knows how to lead. There's a difference between being a boss and being a leader. Being a boss is cool. That if that's your thing, go for it. But a boss delegates and tells people what to do. A leader shows you how. A leader leads the way. A leader will be in front of the charge saying, let's go, not sitting behind the group saying, go. That's what an alpha male is to me. A fucking leader. And, you know. Everybody wants to be a boss, but it's like, you never even liked your boss when you were working for one. And if you're still working for one, you definitely don't like the motherfucker. So why would you want to be that? I believe that if you want to be that, it's coming from a place of insecurity. Like, ooh, I've been hurt and I've been taken advantage of and I've been subjected to bullshit. So let me get the power now so people can feel how I felt. I've been under somebody's boot for so long. Let me strap on a pair of my own so they can be under mine for once. That shit is weak. That shit is fucking weak. Break the cycle, man. People want to be a fucking boss. Don't be a fucking boss. The world needs more leaders. The world don't need more bosses. All right? But if you want to be a boss, that's cool. Go do that shit over there. Stay the fuck up out my way. We leaders over here. And a true leader knows how to follow. Hello. What else is on my mind, man? What else have I been upset with? Been getting a lot of women sending me nudes. And I'm sorry to the ladies out there that have sent me them that are about to hear this, but haven't really been digging any of them. You know what I mean? I know it's like, damn, Kane, like, tough bag, you know? Like, it's a hard job. Look, I'm not complaining. I'm very flattered, but, like, it's not exactly, you know, not exactly my taste, my flavor, if you catch my drift. And I don't even know why I brought that up. What else is going on? Shit, my life is boring, bro. I go to the gym. I go to a field or a park near me, and I film fruit videos. People still aren't reading the captions. They're still not reading the captions to see that I tagged the company that makes the spork spoon knife thing. They're still not reading the captions to see that I tagged Miami Fruit as the provider for my fruit. So I added it all to the link in my bio, which is KaneKerner.com. KaneKerner.com is just a fucking landing page. It's nothing too complicated or serious. I would like to answer some questions that I have been sent recently through my Instagram. I will see if I can get on there and access it through my computer so that I can have a little bit of a prompt. The first part of this podcast, the first, 15 minutes or so, or 12 minutes around, more or less just like an introduction. Hi, how you doing, everybody? Hope y'all been well, man. What else? I got some shit from Amazon today because I'm about to be sleeping in my car probably for the next couple weeks unless I find somebody in these states that I'm going to be traveling through that'll allow me to crash at their crib. I might book a hotel here and there, but again, just because I'm doing a little better these days than I used to when I was working at Amazon or the fucking restaurants, that doesn't mean that I'm trying to spend fucking bread. Like, you know what I mean? Ugh, I cannot do it, man. It's so hard to fucking spend money, man. It's so hard to spend money. I wanted to recently treat myself to like a little trophy for like hitting 2 million on TikTok and having the gram doing well, but you know, this dude was like, yo, I can make you a grill because I know you've always wanted a grill. I'm like, hell yeah, like the gold teeth, you know? But then when he told me the price, I was like, even though it's a reasonable price, I'm like, nah, fuck that. Can't do it, man. Can't do it. So yeah, probably not going to do that. I'm Frugal Fred out here, man. I'm like, there's a big part of me that's afraid to spend money. Okay. What can I talk about? Okay, so I'm looking at some of the questions I was recently asked when I did like a submit your question type thing on Instagram. I love y'all. I appreciate y'all, man. But a lot of these questions, fucking, I either answered them already in a previous podcast. Like, a lot of them are about my sobriety and talked about that on episode 1. You guys listening right now know that, but you know, the late to the party folk don't know. Like this one says, heartbreaks and infidelity. Talked about that already. Roe versus Wade. Jesus Christ. A woman should be able to do whatever the hell she wants with her body. Weed. Scarlet Rogue 18 said weed. Sick, bro. Great. great topic. Yeah, man. Being that I was diagnosed with bipolar disorder apparently, according to like other people that were diagnosed with bipolar disorder, people with underlying mental health conditions, mental illnesses, chemical imbalances, they are a little more sensitive to the psychoactive properties of marijuana. And especially with nowadays the weed being stronger than the shit I used to buy for fucking $5 or $10 off the older kid in my neighborhood back in the day. This shit is fucking too strong. And what used to be like cathartic or therapeutic for me back in the day, it is not the case anymore. I stopped smoking, I'd say a month after I stopped drinking. And my last drink of alcohol was February 15th, 2019. So, yeah. I mean, I count my sobriety date, my clean and sober date is February 15th. Just, it's too fucking complicated. I'm not remembering two dates, you know. Whatever. But, yeah, I'm not Cali sober. I'm real sober. I don't do shit. I drink coffee. I got some coffee here, and I already allowed it to go cold, which is pretty fucking lame of me. I hate when I let my coffee go cold. What's another one? Astral projection. Sugar Beans said talk about astral projection. I'm not into that, baby. I don't do that. I don't do that shit. I believe I've done it before, but like that's not something that I really like play around with or have interest in. I don't really talk much about like spirituality and shit. I talk more about like mental health, maintenance, and emotional literacy, motivation, stuff like that. The fuck was that? Oh, okay, I see what it is. Anyway, psychedelics. Cameron Marshall. Yeah, I never did that shit either. I did coke. I did fucking, like, pills and shit. A lot of weed. A lot of booze. A lot of liquor. Never fucked with psychedelics. I was always afraid to because I knew I had something up with my fucking head. Like, my brain, you know? Liam LePeck said, talk about what got you into fruit and talk about your childhood hobbies or something. That's actually kind of ironic because one of my childhood hobbies was eating fruit and skateboarding. I loved skateboarding. I loved music. That's why I make music. Art, you know, painting and sewing. My grandmother, Rose Marie, she taught me how to stitch things by hand. So that's why, like, I have those jeans covered in patches and I'm always customizing my clothes and things like that. And when I was fresh into pursuing sobriety, one of the things that I remember reading while I was in the mental hospital was that we have to, in order to remove negative habits from our lives, we often have to replace them with good or more preferable, more favorable ones. And it really came through at the right time. Remembering that, because when I decided I wanted to let go of drinking and getting high and masturbating all the time and fucking random girls in my neighborhood and shit, all I had to fall back on was like working out and painting and sewing and skateboarding and eating fruit. I remembered, like, wow, like eating fruit always made me happy as a kid, so let me do it again. And that's what I started doing. And here we are. It's fruit for thought. Pretty fucking cool, right? Yeah. So, yeah. Actually, what's your name, bro? Liam LePeck. Appreciate you, bro. Thank you for asking that question. Yeah, that was a good one, Liam LePeck. Thank you. Okay. So, what's a good one? What's a good one? Talk about places you see yourself visiting and different fruits you want to try from around the world. Submitted by the homie Big Egyptian. Shout out to Big Egyptian, man. You know what I mean? Hey, boy. His name's Jack, if you're watching the video. He got one eye. It's my uncle's favorite cat. He's a good boy. Scrawny little thing, but he got heart, you know? Big Egyptian. Shit, bro. I know I'm gonna see the world, but I ain't never really imagined it. Like, seeing myself in other places and stuff. Like, and it sucks because, like, whenever I've imagined going to the, like, different countries and stuff, it's always, like, European countries because of, like, you know, school. Like, the way that they gear you to giving a fuck about Europe. Shout out to everybody in Europe and all, but I'm just, you know what I'm talking about. Like, school's history is very whitewashed, you know what I mean? Whatever. But, yeah, I would like to go to, like, fucking exotic places, like, or at least what the hell white people regard as exotic, you know, like Michigan and fucking Miami. No, I'm kidding. I would love to go to, like, Jamaica and go to, like, you know, Trinidad, Barbados. I want to go to Mexico, like, that'd be cool. New Zealand seems lit. Australia's fucking scary, but so interesting. I would like to see, like, Cambodia and like, Vietnam and stuff. Iceland looks beautiful. Iceland is the one that's with all the green, and Greenland's the one with all the ice. Shout out to people in Iceland, but, like, ice fucking sucks. I'm so sick. I don't like the cold. I'm a hot weather guy. So, yeah, I would like to go to a lot of places, bro. And as far as, like, what fruit to try... Miami fruits, like, spoiled the shit out of me. I've tried a lot of cool stuff, but, like, you know, I would like to pick a soursop from a tree and, like, I don't know, have, like, a beautiful, like, glowing looking woman with me where she's like, yeah, Ken, you want to try it? I'm like, yeah, babe, like, you know what I mean? Like, the soursop. I'm like, yeah, baby, yeah, all that shit. It'd be fun. Destiny FWLR 777 said, "The stupid drama that's going on in America. Hell, I don't even live there, and it's pissing me off." Well, your opinion is definitely flawed, then, baby. Because, like, America, look, now look, this is coming from someone who was born into the privilege of being a white male in America, albeit a lower class, like, white trash type, you know, guy, but privileged nonetheless. You know what I mean? I try to do my part to recognize it. America, man, it's very contradictory, but something I do love and respect about it is that I don't think a majority of the people that are here would be able to fucking survive in many of the other places. Freedom of speech has hands down helped me out with increasing the quality of my life, but again, that is something that has a lot to do with the privilege that I was born into. I do believe, though, that one of the most American and patriotic things that any of us can do is to criticize our government. And I do believe in, and it's easy for me to say, but I do believe in freedom of speech to the point that we should also be subjected to things that we may not want to hear, things that may be inflammatory, things that may be hurtful, things that even may potentially be violent. I do believe that we need to be exposed to those things. Sweeping things under the rug does not make them go away. It is only until things are brought out and cast with light, you know, illuminated, that we can actually see them for what they are. And I believe that, I believe that we as a people, especially this generation coming up, is very sharp. But if we continue to coddle them, and nerf everything and hide things from them, then I feel like we might be setting them up to fail. Like, I trust and believe that the next generation of Americans is going to be a forward-thinking and progressive one and a strong one, but they will not be strong if we keep letting them play this social game on easy. Because the world isn't easy. It's not. Especially if you're of another gender or of another race than the ones that I am. What else do we got? Thank you for that, Destiny FWLR 777. And just to keep it a buck, again, I barely graduated high school. I never even applied to college. I don't know what I got on my SATs. I was probably high when I went in. sobriety and how it's a daily lifelong struggle, things you do to fight it. So high, X94. Ironic. When it comes to sobriety, the main things that I do to continue to walk the path of it is that I do all I can to refrain from being around the people, places, and things that trigger me to use, to get high, to drink. I avoid the people I used to get high and drunk with. I avoid the women that I used to do things with that weren't healthy. I don't go to the places that I used to get fucked up at. And if I should find myself around them, I make sure it's a limit for a very, very limited time. You really have to be firm in your boundaries. And as a man, especially, I believe that this goes back into the whole alpha discussion type bullshit. A true man is one who subjects himself to healthy limitations and boundaries and restrictions and sticks to them. My sobriety is non-negotiable. I believe that if I drink or get high again, that I'm going to do, that I would end up doing something that will cost me my life. And I have always had a life that was worth staying here to live for. I've always had a life that was worth staying here to live, but sobriety has allowed me to recognize that I have so much to lose. And because I not only do not want to lose it, but more importantly, I admire and I am grateful for the things that I've been given and for this life that I've been given, so much so that I want to keep it and nurture it and grow it, that I'll do whatever I can to stay here. And sobriety is one of those things. So yeah, it can be a struggle at times. There's many things that trigger me to want to get fucked up and give up. And there's many things that trigger me to want to get high and fucking melt away. But I finally have recognized that I have a life that isn't worth giving up or melting away. J. Mart said, respectfully, what made you such a fruit freak? Oh, shit tastes good and it's pretty. It's like nature's candy. Pretty simple. Thank you. Sammy G 2240 said, I want to know about your pink Crocs. I'm picking the bullshit questions, by the way. No offense, Sammy G 2240. But yeah, the Crocs, they're the Post Malone Crocs collab. And Post Malone seems like a cool fucking dude, man. Shout out to him. What else? What else? Jemic 1519 said, what your next adventure is going to be? What my next adventure is going to be is that I'm going to drive across the country. I'm going to do it again. It's going to be my second time, but this time I'm doing it solo. Just me, my fruits, my technology, and my thumper. And it's going to be a fun time. I'm going to make some music on the way. Maybe I'll make some friends on the way. Hopefully I make some memories on the way. But, yeah, I'm going to drive through the south this time. In 2020, I drove through the Northern Pass with my older brother. I had to help him deliver a package out to Los Angeles. But this time, I'm going to be going solo. I'm going to swing through Florida, have some fun in Miami. You know, I'm going to visit the Miami Fruit Farm as well. Hopefully make some music with some people. Make some love, who knows. And then I'm going to drive all the way out through the south, go through Texas, because I got a big support system in Texas. Everything's bigger in Texas, which leads me to wanting to stop in Houston, you know, some ass. Just being honest, man. I got some fat asses in Houston. But yeah, I'm going to have an adventure, baby. It's going to be great. And then that tail end, it's going to be like New Mexico, Arizona. I'm gonna stop in Vegas. That's the devil's fucking taint right there, Vegas. But I got some fun waiting on me in Vegas. Some sober fun, but you know. You all right? I'm trying to get nasty in Vegas. I'm gonna have some fun. So thank you. What the fuck was your name? What was your name? Shit. Appreciate you, girl. You did great. What else? Okay. Advice on creating music. Vargostis. Hold up. Let me sip my coffee. Oh, boy. Jack, stop rubbing on the box. Why are you so crazy? Advice on creating music. The simplest advice I can give you, man, listen to good shit so you don't accidentally get influenced by some whack shit. That's rule number one. Rule number two is create the stuff that you want to hear. Don't shy away from your influences. They're going to shine through anyway. So make sure that you are honoring as many of your influences as possible. The more influences you pull from when creating music, the more original you appear. There is no such thing as a truly original artist. It's all bullshit. But yeah, make the stuff you want to hear, man. And if you find yourself with writer's block, I believe we have two options. We either have to stop fucking getting in our own way and just go with our first original ideas, no matter how bullshit or whack they seem in the moment. A couple weeks or days or even months go by, you might find yourself liking that stuff that you felt like was garbage while you were creating it. Or go live your life, put the fucking mic down, go do something else creative, or take a nap, you know? I don't know. Live your life, you know? But yeah, my advice on creating music is very simple, man. There you go. I hope something I said was good. What else? I'm avoiding talking about some of, like, the real deep shit. Because, like, I just don't feel like fucking talking about it. I spend so much of my life, and I'm grateful to do it, but I spend so much of my life talking about it. The pain of losing people once you start truly healing. Winton said, the pain of losing people once you start truly healing. Yeah, man. The pain of losing people once you start to truly heal is a really weird thing. Because on the one hand, you're happy and you're grateful and you're feeling this momentum grow within you and around you because you're healing and you're recognizing that You're breaking old patterns and you're breaking a cycle that once caused you so much suffering. But then on the other hand, you start to see friends or who you thought were friends fall away from you. And it's because you're creating a gap. Originally, you were both here on a level playing field. But as you start to heal, honestly, a lot of people just stay where they're at. And that might be enough for them. So you don't got to judge them or make them feel like they're not doing enough. Some of us just have to do what we view or feel is more. And if you want certain people to stay in your life, there's only one thing you can really do when you're creating such a gap and divide. You can go back down and stay with them. If you really want to close the gap that bad, but I don't think you want to do that. So what they could do is start to close that gap themselves and try to work towards where you're at. Excuse me. But that rarely is the case. So the pain of losing people once you start to truly heal, it's a pain that you have to feel. It's a pain that is unavoidable. because it's growing pain. You cannot grow without pain, without feeling that dull ache. It's just the way it is. It's fucked, but you gotta learn to look at it like it's a good thing. Thank you for that, Winton. I'm gonna end it with this. It's just Haley said, Kane, do you ever feel like you're missing out on things? And yeah, I am. I'm missing out on so many things. But because of what I have decided is important to me, apparently those things that I'm missing out on aren't really that important to me in the first place. Because if they were, I wouldn't be missing out on them. See what I did there? I don't believe that we can miss out on anything that is truly important to us. I don't believe that we can miss out on something that we truly value, because if we did truly value it, we would be there. We wouldn't allow ourselves to miss out on it. So that's something I try to remind myself when I start to feel FOMO, fear of missing out. And hopefully that makes sense to you. It's just Haley. Thank you for that. Maybe I'll do another one. How to move on with Bluff Master said, how to move on. The thing about moving on is that you cannot not do it. You have to move on. Regardless of whether or not you're ready to move on, if you're in a situation where you feel like you have to, it's already happening. You have to move on. You have to learn how to accept it in your mind. You have to learn how to identify with the fact that, yes, I am moving on from this. What I once saw as this structured, solid, present thing in my life is no more. And if you stand there and continue to hold on to the false hope that it's going to somehow rebuild itself, you're only hurting yourself. There's like a meme, like a drawing, where it's supposed to be the personification of somebody holding on to a former lover, and there's a rope around the waist of the lover, and that rope is being held tight by this guy's hand, and she's walking away, and the further she gets, the more his hand is being burned, and he's holding on tight, but he's hurting his hand, and he's squeezing the rope, and she's just continuing to walk. She's comfortable. It is what it is. What's actually causing the guy in the meme pain is that he's not letting go of the rope. The pain would stop if you just let go of, you know, what you're anxiously and fearfully holding on to. It's easier said than done, though, man. Because, man, memories are a motherfucker. They are a son of a bitch. But, you know, time's going to pass anyway. So what's really important is what we do with that time. It's why I work out so much. It's why I make music so much. It's why I fucking talk and do these videos so much. Because, it's hard for our mind to beat us up when we're keeping our hands busy. You know? Your mind will run wild if you let it. But ironically, with that being said, learning how to be still is the way to really bring your mind, or at least the bullshit of your mind, to a halt. I think that there's a happy medium that I'm working on finding. Stillness, but also making sure that I'm keeping it moving. I hope you figure it out with Bluff Master. Anyway, y'all, this episode got off to a weird start, but it mellowed out by the end. That bipolar shit is no joke. I love y'all very much. I hope y'all have a good one. I hope you're safe wherever you are. And if some shit's bothering you or annoying you today, fuck it, man. Don't allow a bad moment or a bad couple minutes or a bad hour turn into a bad day. Don't let it fucking turn into a bad day. I love and I appreciate y'all. Fruit for thought. This has been another episode of The Kane Show. Oh yeah, new Fruit for Thought merch, new music, and a bunch of cool shit at the link in my bio, KaneKerner.com. I appreciate your support. I thank you for giving a crap. Y'all have a great day. I'll see y'all soon with another episode. Peace. That was a good time.